Welcome to day 239 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, your host from Hidden with Christ Ministries. Today we will be launching out into the book of Ezekiel. And this is a fascinating book, possibly a puzzling book if you just read it without any background understanding. So I will begin today simply by giving some background to the prophet Ezekiel and also some context for the words which he has written in this very interesting prophetic book. First of all, it's important to know that as we are reading my Everyday Bible in chronological order, we are following the different parts of the Bible and different passages of Scripture that actually coincide chronologically in time. So as we completed the books of Jeremiah and Lamentations, and we know that Jeremiah lived during that really difficult season in Israel's history where the nation had fallen away from the Lord and the prophets had been prophesying, warning them to turn back or the nation would be destroyed. And when we ended the book of Jeremiah and the book of Lamentations, we had gotten to the point where the Babylonians had invaded multiple times, carried people away captive, and then eventually burned down the city of Jerusalem. So we're going to back up just a little bit because Ezekiel was a man who was a contemporary of the prophet Jeremiah, though he was a much younger man. When Jeremiah was prophesying at the very end of the book of Jeremiah and when he wrote the book of Lamentations, he was an older gentleman and Ezekiel was just a young man. But they lived at the same time and they ended up confirming each other's prophecies. So let me give you a little background about Ezekiel himself. Ezekiel was born in Israel, and he was from the priestly line, the Levitical line, the tribe of Levi. We know that his father was a priest, but Ezekiel himself never served as a priest because he was approximately 25 years old when he was taken captive during one of the raids of the Babylonians, really the second captivity. The first captivity was when a group of people from Jerusalem were taken to Babylon, and Daniel was among that group. Approximately 9 years after Daniel was taken captive, the Babylonians returned again during the reign of King Jehoiachin and took another group of the Jerusalem citizens captive to Babylon, and that is when Ezekiel ended up in the Babylonian kingdom, Daniel having already been there for approximately 9 years. We understand from the scriptures and from scholarly research that Ezekiel appears to have begun his prophetic ministry speaking to the children of Israel who are living in the land of Babylon about 5 years after he actually arrived. This would have made him about 30 years old, which was the traditional time for the beginning of the ministry of someone who was in that priestly line. And if you think about it as well, Jesus started his ministry at the age of 30. John the Baptist also started his ministry at the age of 30. And here we see Ezekiel, the prophet, in Babylon, beginning his ministry as a prophet to the people of God. So while we have Daniel prophesying and ministering and praying as an intercessor in the Babylonian king's court, we have Ezekiel simultaneously speaking the word of the Lord and praying for the people and exhorting them to turn their hearts to God who live in the countryside. So God had two men working for him in this nation that was captive within another nation, and yet speaking to them to remember the one true God. And if there is a theme throughout the book of Ezekiel, it could actually be summarized by this one verse that we will find repeated throughout the book of Ezekiel, a grand total of 62 times, we hear these words. It says, "They shall know that I am God." And this, in a sense, is the theme of the book of Ezekiel. God wanting to reveal himself to the people. And we see Ezekiel doing exactly what Jeremiah was doing, exhorting the people to not follow the false gods of the land, but instead to follow and to remember the one true God. You might remember when we read Jeremiah chapter 29 that Jeremiah got a word from the Lord and he wrote it down on a scroll, and it was the declaration or prophetic word that said that the city of Babylon was going to be destroyed. And he wrote it down and he sent that scroll with people going into captivity into Babylon, and he gave them orders to read that declaration about Babylon's fall and then to throw that scroll or book into the river to show prophetic, as a prophetic act, that Babylon was going to sink soon. And so when that word came over to the Babylonians and to the children of Israel living there, Ezekiel was the one who confirmed this message. He said, yes, it's true that Babylon was going to fall. It was going to be destroyed. And he was warning the people that they needed to turn to the Lord before they were ever going to be allowed to return to Jerusalem. So we see Ezekiel and Jeremiah's ministries confirming one another. As we get deeper into the book, we're going to see some amazing revelations that Ezekiel got that are going to sound very similar to what we will find in the book of Revelation. Ezekiel was a man who received amazing supernatural visions from the Lord about the end times, about the glory of God being revealed. Absolutely stunning visions that many have pondered for centuries as to their meaning, but they're profound, really, and they reveal the glory of God and the power of God, and I think you'll find them quite amazing as we get to them in the latter chapters of the book of Ezekiel. So let's begin today at Ezekiel chapter 1, starting at the first verse. And today we will be reading from the New American Standard Bible. "Now it came about in the 30th year, on the 5th day of the 4th month, while I was by the river Kivar among the exiles, the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. On the 5th of the month, in the 5th year of King Jehoiachin's exile, the word of the Lord came expressly to Ezekiel the priest, son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans, by the river Kivar, and there the hand of the Lord came upon him. As I looked, behold, a storm wind was coming from the north, a great cloud with fire flashing forth continually and a bright light around it, and in its midst something like glowing metal in the midst of the fire. Within it there were figures resembling four living beings, and this was their appearance. They had human form. Each of them had four faces and four wings. Their legs were straight and their feet were like a calf's hoof, and they gleamed like burnished bronze. Under their wings, on their four sides, were human heads. As for the faces and wings of the four of them, their wings touched one another. Their faces did not turn when they moved. Each went straight forward. As for the form of their faces, each had the face of a man. All four had the face of a lion on the right and the face of a bull on the left, and all four had the face of an eagle. Such were their faces. Their wings were spread out above. Each had two touching another being, and two covering their bodies. And each went straight forward. Wherever the spirit was about to go, they would go, without turning as they went. In the midst of the living beings, there was something that looked like burning coals of fire, like torches darting back and forth among the living beings. The fire was bright, and lightning was flashing from the fire, and the living beings ran to and fro like bolts of lightning. Now, as I looked at the living beings, behold, there was one wheel on the earth beside the living beings for each of the four of them. The appearance of the wheels and their workmanship was like sparkling beryl, and all four of them had the same form, their appearance and workmanship being as if one wheel were within another. Whenever they moved in any of their four directions without turning as they moved. As for their rims, they were lofty and awesome, and the rims of all four of them were full of eyes round about. Whenever the living beings moved, the wheels moved with them. And whenever the living beings rose from the earth, the wheels rose also. Wherever the spirit was about to go, they would go in that direction. And the wheels rose close beside them, for the spirit of the living beings was in the wheels. Whenever those went, these went. And whenever those stood still, these stood still. And whenever those rose from the earth, and the wheels rose close beside them, for the spirit of the living beings was in the wheels. Now over the heads of the living beings there was something like an expanse, like the awesome gleam of crystal spread out over their heads. Under the expanse, their wings were stretched out straight, one toward the other. Each one also had two wings covering its body on the one side and on the other. I also heard the sound of their wings like the sound of abundant waters as they went, like the voice of the Almighty, a sound of tumult, like the sound of an army camp. Whenever they stood still, they dropped their wings. And there came a voice from above the expanse that was over their heads. Whenever they stood still, they dropped their wings. Now above the expanse that was over their heads, there was something resembling a throne, like lapis lazuli in appearance. And on that, which resembled a throne, high up, was a figure with the appearance of a man. Then I noticed, from the appearance of his loins and upward, something like glowing metal that looked like fire all around within it. And from the appearance of his loins and downward, I saw something like fire, and there was a radiance around him, as the appearance of the rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day, so was the appearance of the surrounding radiance. Such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell on my face and heard a voice speaking. Chapter 2. Then he said to me, Son of man, stand on your feet that I may speak with you. As he spoke to me, the Spirit entered me and set me on my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. Then he said to me, Son of man, I am sending you to the sons of Israel, to a rebellious people who have rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. I am sending you to them who are stubborn and obstinate children, and you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord God. As for them, whether they listen or not, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, neither fear them nor fear their words. Though thistles and thorns are with you and you sit on scorpions, neither fear their words nor be dismayed at their presence, for they are a rebellious house. But you shall speak my words to them, whether they listen or not, for they are rebellious. Now, you, son of man, listen to what I'm speaking to you. Do not be rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I am giving you. Then I looked, and behold, a hand was extended to me, and lo, a scroll was in it. When he spread it out before me, it was written on the front and back, and written on it were lamentations, mourning, and woe. Chapter 3. Then he said to me, Son of man, eat what you find, eat this scroll, and go speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he fed me this scroll. And he said to me, Son of man, feed your stomach and fill your body with this scroll which I am giving you. Then I ate it, and it was sweet as honey in my mouth. Then he said to me, Son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak with my words to them, for you are not being sent to a people of unintelligible speech or difficult language, but to the house of Israel, nor to many peoples of unintelligible speech or difficult language whose words you cannot understand. But I have sent you to them who should listen to you. Yet the house of Israel will not be willing to listen to you, since they are not willing to listen to me. Surely the whole house of Israel is stubborn and obstinate. Behold, I have made your face as hard as their faces, and your forehead as hard as their foreheads. Like emery, harder than flint, I have made your forehead. Do not be afraid of them, or be dismayed before them, though they are a rebellious house. Moreover, he said to me, Son of man, take into your heart all my words which I will speak to you, and listen closely. Go to the exiles, to the sons of your people, and speak to them, and tell them, whether they listen or not, thus says the Lord God. Then the Spirit lifted me up, and I heard a great rumbling sound behind me. Blessed be the glory of the Lord in his place. And I heard the sound of the wings of the living beings touching one another, and the sound of the wheels beside them, even a great rumbling sound. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away. And I went, embittered in the rage of my spirit, and the hand of the Lord was strong on me. Then I came to the exiles who lived beside the river Kebar at Tel Abib, and I sat there 7 days where they were living, causing consternation among them. At the end of the 7 days, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, I have appointed you a watchman to the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, warn them from me. When I say to the wicked, you will surely die, and you do not warn him or speak out to warn the wicked from his wicked way that he may live, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Yet, if you have warned the wicked, and he does not turn away from his wickedness or from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered yourself. Again, when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I place an obstacle before him, he will die, since you have not warned him. He shall die in his sin, and his righteous deeds which he has done shall not be remembered, but his blood I will require at your hand. However, if you have warned the righteous man that the righteous man should not sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live because he took warning, and you have delivered yourself. The hand of the Lord was on me there, and he said to me, Get up. Go out to the plain, and there I will speak to you. So I got up and went out to the plain, and behold, the glory of the Lord was standing there, like the glory which I saw by the river Kevar, and I fell on my face. The Spirit then entered me and made me stand on my feet. And he spoke with me and said to me, Go, shut yourself up in your house. As for you, son of man, they will put ropes on you and bind you with them, so that you cannot go out among them. Moreover, I will make your tongue stick to the roof of your mouth, so that you will be mute and cannot be a man who rebukes them, for they are a rebellious house. But when I speak to you, I will open your mouth, and you will say to them, Thus says the Lord God, He who hears, let him hear, and he who refuses, let him refuse, for they are a rebellious house. Chapter 4. Now you, son of man, get yourself a brick, place it before you, and inscribe a city on it, Jerusalem. Then lay siege against it. Build a siege wall, raise up a ramp, pitch camps, and place battering rams against it all around. Then get yourself an iron plate, and set it up as an iron wall between you and the city. And set your face toward it so that it is under siege, and besiege it. This is a sign to the house of Israel. As for you, lie down on your left side and lay the iniquity of the house of Israel on it. You shall bear their iniquity for the number of days that you lie on it. For I have assigned you a number of days corresponding to the years of their iniquity, 390 days. Thus you shall bear the iniquity of the house of Israel. When you have completed these, you shall lie down a second time, but on your right side, and bear the iniquity of the house of Judah. I have assigned it to you for 40 days, a day for each year. Then you shall set your face toward the siege of Jerusalem with your arm bared and prophesy against it. Now behold, I will put ropes on you so that you cannot turn from one side to the other until you have completed the days of your siege. But as for you, take wheat, barley, beans, lentils, millet, and spelt. Put them in one vessel and make them into bread for yourself. You shall eat it according to the number of the days that you lie on your side, 390 days. Your food which you eat shall be 20 shekels a day by weight. You shall eat it from time to time. The water you drink shall be the sixth part of a hin by measure. You shall drink it from time to time. You shall eat it as a barley cake, having baked it in their sight over human dung. Then the Lord said, Thus will the sons of Israel eat their bread unclean among the nations where I will banish them. But I said, Ah, Lord God, behold, I have never been defiled, for from my youth until now I have never eaten what died of itself or was torn by beasts, nor has any unclean meat ever entered my mouth. Then he said to me, See, I will give you cow's dung in place of human dung, over which you will prepare your bread. Moreover, he said to me, Son of man, behold, I am going to break the staff of bread in Jerusalem, and they will eat bread by weight and with anxiety, and drink water by measure and in horror, because bread and water will be scarce, and they will be appalled with one another and waste away in their iniquity. This is the end of today's scripture reading. Before we move on to today's devotional, I wanted to let you know about some other free resources available to you from Hidden with Christ Ministries. We have a weekly teaching called Word for Wednesday, available on video through YouTube, or as an audio podcast available on all the major podcasting platforms. Just type in Word for Wednesday, Rita Langland, on YouTube or on your favorite podcast channel, or you can visit our website at hiddenwithchrist.org to find a library of hundreds of Bible teachings by yours truly, Rita Langland. And now let's continue with today's devotional. Here in the book of Ezekiel, we find one of the most dramatic callings and commissionings of a prophet that we may find in the entire Bible. Imagine Ezekiel sitting by the river Kevar, which is in Babylon, and suddenly, as it says in the very first chapter, the heavens were opened and Ezekiel saw visions of God. And you heard these very mystical visions that he saw. He saw these four figures that looked kind of like humans a little bit. They had human form, it said, but each of them had four faces. So one face was the face of a lion, the other was the face of a man, the other a face of a bull, and the fourth face was the face of an eagle. And not only that, they had these amazing and indescribable wheels next to them that seemed to actually contain the very spirit inside of them as well. And the wheels went up with them and out with them, and wherever they went, the wheels went. And it's the most very puzzling or fascinating visions that we find in the Bible. And yet, this was the very thing that got Ezekiel's very strong attention as he was just gazing at these visions of God that he's seeing when the heavens were open. And then suddenly, again, he sees this throne and this figure who's on the throne, who looks like fire from his waist up and from his waist down. It's just glowing metal like fire with this rainbow like radiance surrounding him. And then suddenly, this figure on the throne speaks to Ezekiel and says, "Stand on your feet, and I'm sending you to the sons of Israel." So we see God getting Ezekiel's attention through this dramatic open vision. He was awake, his eyes were open, he was sitting by the river. So when he saw the heavens open and began to see all these mystical creatures and visions, it was an open vision. It wasn't a dream. He saw it with his eyes open. Then he begins to hear this voice speaking to him. And this voice, from which was the voice of God himself, begins to tell him that he has a great calling on his life, and that God himself is commissioning him on a very special assignment. And he's very clear in his direction to Ezekiel. He tells him he's sending him to the sons of Israel. Not to people whose language he doesn't know. So he's telling him, "I'm not sending you as a missionary some faraway place to people whose language you can't even understand. I'm sending you to these people who are your own people, and you are to tell them whatever I tell you. You are to speak and say, 'Thus says the Lord God.'" And then he goes on to say, "Don't worry about whether they listen to you or they don't. Your job is very simple. Just speak my words to them." God also made it very clear to Ezekiel that the people were rebellious and that they were not going to listen, and that they were actually going to oppose him and try to prevent him from doing the very thing God had told him to do, because we heard him say that the Lord tell him that they're going to like tie you up with ropes and try to prevent you from going in and out. The idea being that these people who God has sent him to prophesy to were going to actually try to hold him back from doing the ministry to which he was called by God himself. And then we find the commissioning of Ezekiel. His calling and his commissioning were simultaneously. But the commissioning came when God handed him a scroll and told him to eat the scroll. And it says that Ezekiel opened his mouth and that he fed me this scroll. He, with the capital H, it's God himself handing him the scroll, putting it in his mouth as if to clearly symbolized that God was going to place his words in Ezekiel's mouth, and that those were the words he was to speak. And Ezekiel records that he ate it and it was sweet as honey in his mouth. And then probably one of the most profound things that God tells him in this time of appointing him and commissioning him is that the Lord tells him I have appointed you a watchman to the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, warn them from me. When I say to the wicked, you will surely die, and you don't warn him, or speak out to warn the wicked from his wicked way that he may live, his blood I will require at your hand. And then he goes on to say that he also has to warn the righteous person so that he doesn't sin, so that he stays walking righteously before God. And it says, however, if you don't warn the righteous person and he ends up sinning, I'll require his blood at your hand. And then he goes on to finish by saying, however, if you have warned the righteous man and that person takes heed to what Ezekiel tells him and he doesn't sin, then the righteous man will live because he took the warning, and Ezekiel would also have delivered himself and not be guilty before the Lord for any lack of fulfillment of his assigned duty. And it is really about this idea that we find here in the book of Ezekiel of God calling Ezekiel responsible for the lives of other people if he didn't warn them or give them the word that the Lord had given to him. And I want to discuss that today because I believe that we live in a time and a culture, especially in the United States, where people are so overly concerned about disturbing someone else's privacy oftentimes that even Christian people are not willing to talk to others or share the gospel or give their testimony to their neighbor because of fear of offending them. And yet here we find the book of Ezekiel, the Lord telling Ezekiel, if you don't tell them what I've told you, I'm going to hold you responsible. And I believe that God calls every single one of his servants to be a person who is willing and desiring to share about the love of God, about what God has done for your life, about the testimony that you have of coming to know God, about Christ's saving power and God's mercy and love. And yet we live in a time when we're so concerned about stepping on someone's toes or offending our neighbor or workmate, person we work with or person that we go to school with, that we often are silent when we should be speaking with boldness and confidence. And I don't mean to imply that we should be blasting people with religious words. That will have absolutely no positive outcome. But I do believe that we are to walk in the Spirit as Ezekiel did, and we will watch him as we go through the book of Ezekiel, but that when the Lord would speak to him, he would turn and speak to the people. And I believe that's a model for us to follow. God has placed his people, those who have placed their trust in Christ and who are living in Christ and whose lives reflect the love of God, to be his mouthpieces in the earth. God is not waiting for just one person in a pulpit on a Sunday morning to be the person or persons who will be the ones to share God's word or the love of God or the gospel with the world. They cannot possibly impact the entire earth. They don't live next door to your neighbor. You live next door to your neighbor. They don't go to work in your office building. You go there. God has called all of us to be people who are willing to follow the guidance and the prompting of the Holy Spirit to share the love of God with others. Oftentimes we may think in our own minds, well, they don't want to hear it, so I'm not going to say anything. And yet we don't know when it is that God himself has sent us and already prepared the heart of the person that you may live next door to or work with in the next cubicle. And yet God has sent you there so that you can be ready at the prompting of the Spirit to share the love of God with them. I have a very close friend and ministry partner who has this very testimony. She was a very successful businesswoman. She became very successful financially and looked to all appearances as someone who was very pleased with herself and her life because of her financial success. Yet the truth was, there was a hole in her heart that she could not fill with any of the money she had accumulated and the things that she had bought and the fancy car that she drove. So one day, a lady who was a spirit-filled Christian and also worked in that same business was on a business trip, and this other woman, my friend, also was on that same business trip. So after the day's meetings were over and the business was finished and the evening came, this other woman, the spirit-filled Christian, invited my friend to have dinner together, come back to her place and just have some time of just chatting together. She had also enlisted the assistance of another Christian as well, so there was two Christian ladies with this one non-believer. And the Christian lady had been praying for some time about this other woman, the non-believer business lady, and felt the Lord's prompting to share God's love with her, even though, to all appearances, she didn't look the least bit interested in spiritual things. She talked about worldly things, materialistic things, but never any indication that she would be the least bit interested in talking about or hearing about a relationship with God. But the woman followed the prompting of the Spirit, and she very gently began to share her own testimony about her relationship with God, how she had come to know God, how it had affected her life, how God had done such a work inside of her, and how she had such joy now that she knew the Lord. As it turned out, that non-believing, successful businesswoman bowed her heart to the Lord that very evening and gave her heart to Christ. Today, over 20 years later, that woman is still a successful businesswoman, but she is a dynamic Christian who has an amazing evangelistic anointing, and even this very week called me from a foreign country to tell me she had just led one of the top business people in that nation to the Lord and was staying in their penthouse in this foreign country and was so excited to report what God had done. You don't know by outward assessment when somebody's heart is really crying out for the reality of God. They may look like they have it all together. They may look like they don't need a thing in the world because they have all the money and the material possessions a person could ever dream of. And yet, like my friend, have an empty heart, a heart that is so desiring to know the reality of God and the purpose for which that person was created. My friend, this successful businesswoman, now has such joy in knowing God, walking with God, hearing the voice of God, and sharing the love of God with other people. But if that Christian business person had never shared with her, it could very well be that that woman could still to this day not be walking with God. We need to be sensitive to the Lord. When Ezekiel received his commissioning, the Lord told him, "When I speak to you, I will open your mouth and you will say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God.'" God wants you to be a person who listens for the voice of God. And when he speaks to you, trust him that he will open your mouth, that he'll put the words in your mouth. But be bold and obedient enough to say what the Lord is telling you. Like that businesswoman who witnessed to boldly to this lady who looked to all appearances like she'd never be interested in spiritual things. And yet the fruit of that one witness has produced literally hundreds of others who this other woman has now led to the Lord personally. And the number that those people have led to the Lord cannot be counted on this earth, but God knows them. God wants to use you, and He is calling us to that same ministry of being sensitive to the Lord's voice, to speaking what the Lord tells us, and not to be afraid that they won't listen, or even concern yourself about whether they want to hear it or they don't want to hear it as far as you can assess it. God knows the heart of people, and God has sent us to share His love with the whole earth so that many will be saved and many will come to the knowledge of God. It's true, there will be some that don't listen. Even the Lord told Ezekiel that they're rebellious and they're not going to listen to you. But don't restrain yourself from speaking. Say what I tell you to say. It gives God the opportunity to work in someone's heart. Warn them, tell them, and then if they listen to you, then they will be saved and you will have been cleared of your responsibility to share my word with people. God wants us to be sensitive to Him and share His love with as many people as possible while we live on the earth. Don't fear them. Let God use you in your workplace, in your school, in your neighborhood, and wherever God places you, on a plane sitting next to someone, or wherever God speaks. God wants to use you. It's a calling on your life. Whether you're a business person or a preacher, you're called to share the love of God. God bless you and give you a victorious week. If you have enjoyed My Everyday Bible, please share it with others. It's our heart to get the Word of God out around the world. If you'd like to help us continue this work, you can make a donation through this app or on our website at myeverydaybible.com. You can also mail a check to Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia, 24551. Once again, that's P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia, 24551. And don't forget to check out our free library of Bible teachings at hiddenwithchrist.org. We believe you will be blessed because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Have a victorious week.